happy Monday to you and welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Dean Fulks. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus as the lead pastor here at LifePoint. We jumped back into our series this past week called Built to Last, where we're looking at how our core values frame our faith. We're talking about it in the context of like a home renovation. So just like blueprints shape buildings, or when you renovate a house, you know, you take it back to the foundation, you take it back to the studs when you want to kind of start over. It's really what we want to do with our faith. This week, we talked about our core value of spiritual intimacy, and we said that spiritual intimacy means that we are His. We looked at the passage in the Old Testament, really the story of Hannah with her husband Elkanah. Hannah, she struggled with infertility, and of course, in their culture, having children was really everything. Your safety, your security, the future of your country. I mean, so many things were really founded around how many children. So women who could have lots of children were seen as heroes. And if you couldn't, sometimes as a female, you were marginalized because of that. And certainly Hannah felt that. But Elkanah, her husband, he had two wives, Hannah, and the other was Peninnah. Peninnah, really, she rubbed it in Hannah's face that she couldn't have children, which made the pain so much worse because Peninnah could have children. And then Elkanah, really, you know, he loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah, so he doubled what he gave her in public so everyone would know that he valued Hannah. And really, what those situations offered Hannah was kind of an alternative form of intimacy. Really, you know, Elkanah was saying, why don't you build your life on my love? The culture was saying, no, you need to build your life on the fact that you can have kids, on your performance. And so there comes this really unique moment in 1 Samuel chapter 1 where she rejects spousal hope. She says, I'm not going to build my life on, you know, on my husband's love. She says, I'm not going to build my life on cultural hope, on, you know, whether or not I can have children. And she has this, we call it a stand-up moment. Everybody needs a stand-up moment where you say, I'm going to build my life on what God says. And really the way that happens for her is through this prayer that she prays. And so the critical factor for us, we said, well, what's in that prayer? And really there's two things. It was transcendence and transparency. She starts off the prayer, she says, oh Lord of hosts. In other words, you're the one who God has led us, hosted us throughout history and been with us from beginning to end. You're the one who is all powerful and all knowing. And then at the same time, she prays and she says, God, please give me a child. And she goes on to say, God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you. So what you see, what changes in Hannah there is she's saying to God, listen, you're transcendent, all powerful, and this really, really hurts. And I don't understand this. And I think one of the points we brought up is that that's how we should pray. We should pray our humanity into a sense of God's deity, His awesome, big transcendence, creator, designer of the universe. And we're honest with Him. If Hannah settles for religion, just checking the same boxes that she's always checked, doing the same things that she's always done, thinking her morality is going to get her there, or she maybe starts revenge tactics with Peninnah and her kids, I mean, that's not going to work. That's not going to bring her satisfaction. Essentially, what she says is, Lord, it's not that I don't want a child anymore, but I've essentially changed the reason that I want a child. I want a child for your sake, not for my sake. If you had given me a child before, I would have built my life on this child, and that would have been wrong for the child and for me and for you. I would have put a weight on the child that the child couldn't bear. I would have compromised my hope, and I would not have found satisfaction in you. And so, interestingly enough, Hannah finds peace and contentment before she ever finds out that she's going to have a child. In the middle of critique and chaos, and certainly there are many people who face the difficulties of infertility in our world. I shared with our church, my wife and I, we've miscarried on two different occasions, and one of those occasions was the first time that we were pregnant, that we were going to have, and we were pregnant, much as we knew, doctors had said we were pregnant with twins, and you really don't understand that until you're faced with the reality that, you know what, well, we may not be able to be parents. And so you realize, you know, what Hannah's facing there, and that even in the midst of that circumstance, somehow she found peace and then found out she was pregnant. So what's the key to that? And I think what we decided is that the key was spiritual intimacy. She figured out that she was His. The way we kind of talked about it was, you know, everybody thinks their kid is special. Everybody thinks their dog is special, right? And I said to our church, look, your kid's not special. You know, 400 kids are born at Delaware County Hospital every year. Four of them are going to get, on average, four of them are going to get academic scholarships. Eight of them may get a partial or full ride scholarship to play sports in college. So then that's just 392 kids, 396 kids, just average. But we don't. I don't walk around church looking at new babies and saying, "Ah, you know, he's mediocre." We don't do. I don't come to your house and say, "Hey, there's about, you know, I don't know, 10 million schnauzers in the world. Your dog's just one of them." No, your dog is special. But why is your dog special? Why is your kid is special because it's your kid, right? Because they are yours. Spiritual intimacy means that we are His, that what makes you special is that God created you in His own image, that you belong to Him. And there's a place in your soul that only He can fill up. So when cultural hope comes along and says, you've got to score a certain number of points, you have to get a certain number of promotions, you have to live in a certain neighborhood, when your spouse says, you've got to be this to me, or when your kid says, you've got to give me this, we can all, you know, give them the no, 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 Dikembe Mutombo finger and say, no, 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 no. What makes me important is that I'm His, that I belong to God. And that's the primary thing that fills your soul. And when that fills your soul, you've got plenty to give. You have plenty to give to your spouse. You have plenty to give to your children. You can reject the cultural notion that says you've got to be a certain kind of parent, that you've got to be a certain kind of employee. We do those things because we love God, but not to live for those things as our satisfaction. That'll never work. So that leads us to this reality then, that the purpose of prayer is divine friendship. That we pray because Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. Why did Jesus choose us? He says, I don't call you servants. Rather, call you friends. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has called you to be friends with God. And so I'm going to pray that into our day. And when I'm done, I hope you'll take the opportunity to pray that as well. God, we're so grateful that you've called us your friends. Lord, I want to live that way today. I want to live knowing and believing that you approve of me, that I'm yours. And that because I'm yours, I can belong to other spheres, but I'm not tied to them for hope. I'm not tied to them for contentment. I'm not tied to them for peace. And God, that's really difficult to believe, especially when I'm going through a crisis. I'm sure there are people listening this morning, God, that are having tough days. Physical illness, mental illness, difficult relationships in their lives. God, I pray you'll be near them. I pray today, God, that they'll take the time to invest in their relationship with you. An investment, God, that'll bear fruit and legacy in their marriage, their relationship with their children, their broader family, their friendships, their neighborhood. God, I pray that you will use us as your friends. Now you take the opportunity to pray.